Hey everyone, this is TFM DFDMDM, and today we're going to start a new project, and we're going to paint the minis from Betrayal at House on the Hill and Mansions of Madness. And what I'm going to use this project to do is I'm going to show you how to plan how to paint a large amount of miniatures systematically and efficiently. So a lot of people, when you're painting like a Warhammer army, it's pretty easy to have like one unit that's painted exactly as you want, and you can use as a baseline for all the other units. And so a lot of people do one unit at a time, but then you get burned out because you finish one unit, you get that very momentary emotional high that you finished this one unit, but then you look at the entire army you have to paint and you feel discouraged. So what I recommend doing is you want to do a little bit of everything. Well, I'll jump into it. Okay, so we're gonna do Betrayal at House on the Hill. Let's talk about Betrayal at House on the Hill first. So it is a board game, it's a horror board game, and these are the miniatures. They have little rubber bases with colors on them, which denote the color. So here's the, hold on, wait for it to focus. I'm wearing these gloves hoping that it'll help it focus. I can't tell if this is focused enough or not, I don't know. Anyway, the miniatures are pretty detailed, but they have no color other than the little rubber ring that goes around the miniature. So anyway, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have to prime all these minis. So that's step one. But before I do that, I'm going to go over the entire project. So when I'm doing it, you kind of have a heads up of what's going on. Okay, I'm going to prime all the minis. Then I'm going to not base coat them one at a time. I'm just going to put one dot on each element of the miniature for the base coat. And here's the thing about base coating. Base coating is not detailing. Base coating is not like every single element. Base coating are just the major things. The skin, the hair, the clothes, that's it. And you're just putting the base coat. You're not doing shading, you're not doing highlighting, you're not doing detailing, you're just base coating. But I don't want to finish one miniature at a time because I'm gonna get burned out. So this is the secret. So once I have these primed, I'm going to put one dot on each element of the miniature in the color that I'm going to base coat it. And then once all the miniatures have one dot on all the different elements, the skin, the hair, the clothes, etc. Once the miniatures have that dot, I'm gonna go one color at a time. So for example, and I'm gonna use, these are the character cards of the Betrayal at House on the Hill miniatures. I'm gonna use this as a guide of what color to paint them. And there's also, what's interesting, is each one has like a variant. So like the green figure, the little boy, he's got two versions. He's got this black little kid, and then he's got a different black little kid, except the miniature is clearly one of them and not the other. So this miniature is clearly this kid. He has the backwards hat, he's wearing the hoodie. The other kid who's wearing like the winter coat and the glasses, that's clearly not this miniature. So you could do this one of two ways. You can abstractify the miniature, that way it could be both, but I'm just gonna paint it like what the miniature is actually based on, which is this kid. So this miniature here is gonna be painted like this kid in this, man, the glare is pretty bad, huh? Hold on, let me move the light, see if that fixes it. Okay, so here's the miniature, or here's the card from Betrayal at House on the Hill, and I'm gonna paint it to look like the picture. So I'm using this as a guide. Once I get one dot on each element, so obviously his hat's gonna be green, his hoodie's green, his shirt is white, he's African-American, he's gonna have the brown skin, he's gonna have the darker hair. It doesn't show his pants, so I can make his pants whatever I want. I'm probably just gonna make them like blue jeans or something. So when there's a picture, I'm gonna use the picture as a guide, but when there's not a picture, I'm just gonna make it make sense to me. But I'm only gonna put one dot on each figure because I'm not trying to burn myself out. But I don't want to go one miniature at a time and feel discouraged. I wanna make consistent progress. So I put one dot on this guy. So for example, if I'm doing green, well, he's probably gonna be the only miniature with green incorporated into the miniature because all the other miniatures aren't green. So when I do green, I'm only gonna work on him. But when I do the white shirt, well, that leads me to the white guy, and he's gonna have, well, when I say white, like the white character, who's denoted by this character sheet. So we have kind of an Asian looking guy And then on the other side, there's like a guy in a golf hat and a beard. Looks vaguely Jewish. Okay, so we got a doctor and we got like a pastor. Well, what is the miniature? It's clearly this guy. You can see like the little priest robes. You can see he does not have a beard. So even though these characters have different variants, and they kind of, maybe if you squint, it could be either, but it's clearly this one. My point is this. I can start at the green, and then when I get to the white shirt, when I'm done with doing the white on this miniature, I can switch to this miniature and I could do the white for this guy. And that's what you do. You do one color at a time. And that way you make progress on the entire project. And so you're making slow, steady progress. You're not jumping in, chasing that emotional high, and then getting burned out and discouraged because you have so much more to do. Just make slow, steady progress, and then the miniatures will just start finishing themselves as you just go one color at a time. And you'll still see, you'll still be able to stand back and look at the progress you've made. All right, so it's been a day. I have primed, highlighted, and I put just a little bit of color on each miniature so that I can plan ahead for my painting project. And again, this is about painting irregular miniatures. If you're painting an army and everything is painted the same or has the same color scheme, it's fairly easy to keep track of that. When you're painting irregular miniatures that have unique color schemes, it can be really easy to only paint one miniature at a time and then get burned out by looking at all the other miniatures you have to start. And the thing is, the secret is, the hardest part is getting started. If you just put a little paint on the miniature and just go one color at a time, where you're painting all your miniatures just a little bit, one color at a time, by the time you finish one miniature, most of your other miniatures are going to be 25 to 50% painted already. And then it's fairly easy just to finish them off. And you'll find that you'll paint more, you'll finish more, you won't have a giant pile of shame, and you'll get more projects done. So just to show you, I also have the camera really low. I'm hoping that this helps the camera focus. But I just want to show you this. All right, so this is the green kid, and here's his card, and this is the miniature itself. I used a, you know, he's African American, so I used a brown. All right, here's the thing. Listen very closely. This is really important. When you're base coating, which is what I'm doing, I'm just putting one little dot just to kind of give myself a guide, so I don't need these anymore. Once I put one little dot on the miniature, I don't need these like cards to reference what color I should paint stuff, because I have the dot to let me know. But notice his shirt isn't white. In the art, his shirt is white, but on the miniature, his shirt is a light gray. Another example I want to show you is the werewolf girl. Where is she? All right, here she is. All right, so the werewolf girl, in her art, she's wearing a black outfit, but her miniature, I have painted a dark gray. Now, why didn't I use black? Why did I go with dark gray for black and light gray for white? And that's because these are mid-tones, and you never, ever, under any circumstances, use black or white for your mid-tone. Why? Because you can't go higher than white and you can't go darker than black. If you use black as your mid-tone, what are you going to use for your wash layer? You can't go darker than black, so you're done. If you go mid-tone white, what are you going to do to highlight? It's already white. You can't go any brighter than white. So you never use white or black for your mid-tone. And when you're base coating, you're only using mid-tones. After you do the mid-tone during the base coating layer, that's when you add your washes, which will always be darker than your mid-tone, or you add your highlights, which will always be lighter than your mid-tone. And you add your highlights via dry brushing, or you can do edge highlights, or for the washes, you just, you know, mix up some washes and then get those into the recesses. But notice again, dark gray for black. So I'm going to do the mid-tone, the base coating in dark gray. Then I'm going to hit it with a black wash, and that's going to darken up the leathers and make them look black. Her hair, I used a dark purple, and I'm going to hit it up with a lighter purple when I do the highlight dry brushing. Now, this is going to take some kind of feeling around. Oh, same thing with the faces. So for example, most of the faces have like Caucasian faces, but then you have the African American characters that have, you know, obviously browner skin. You just go a shade lower. So I use a light mocha for white people and Asians, and I use a what's called a brown oxide for African Americans. I can highlight the African American with light mocha, and I can use a brown wash for the Caucasian people. Or you can do the opposite. I always use a brown wash for white people. And the thing is you use a dark brown wash. I'm talking like a burnt umber. When you use it on a light, you know, light mocha skin, it'll bring out the eyes, the nose, the mouth, all the little details in the face will come out with a brown wash. For African Americans, you're gonna have to go with probably a black wash, because again, the wash layer is always darker than the base coat layer. When you look at a model that's fully painted, but doesn't have any washes or highlights, it just looks very plain. It's all one color, you can tell what it is, it's just very plain. Adding a little bit of washes, a little bit of highlighting, a little bit of dry brushing is gonna really bring the miniature to life. Anyway, so that's one last thing is using different blacks and browns. I wanna show you the purple girl. Where's the purple girl? So looking at her official art, let me see what we did. Looking at her official art, the only thing that's purple about her is her undershirt. Her coat is like a white, like a light gray white. So she's going to be difficult aside from the ring that's going to round her, but she's going to have a purple shirt. Her hair is actually the darkest brown already. I used a burnt umber for her hair. I'm going to use a black wash for her hair, but I'm probably going to use a burnt umber wash for her face as well as the face of the other African American character. If the details can't be seen with a dark umber or a burnt umber wash, I might go black, but I'm going to try burnt umber first. You don't want to use black unless you have to, or unless that's the look you're going for. For the doctor, I did a light gray because I'm going to dry brush white. So he's going to have a nice white lab coat, but I'm going to start with a light gray and then dry brush on the white to go for a white. And then if I'm going for black, I'm going to use a dark gray, and then I'm going to use a wash for the black. But just notice, I didn't paint everything. I just put a little bit of color on the model just to mark what the color should be. That way, all these little cards and references that I have for the characters, I can put those away now. I know what color I should paint. He has a red hat. He has a white coat. He has white pants, black shoes. He has, you know, a light mocha skin. I know exactly how to paint this guy, at least for the midtones. When I do the washes, and also you can do conditional washes. For example, this character, who's an older white lady, this one. So she's wearing a blue dress. Now what I'm gonna do, it's not actually a dress. She has a separate shirt and a separate pair of pants. I'm gonna use a dark blue wash on her pants to make them look like blue jeans. And then I'm gonna use a light blue dry brushing on her shirt. So even though the mid-tone is the same, I'm using the same blue for her shirt and her pants, they're gonna look completely different when this is done, because I'm gonna add a dark wash for the pants and a light highlight for the shirt. She's still gonna be blue, but it's gonna look a lot better. It's gonna look a lot more distinct. But this only took me maybe an hour just to put a little bit of color on all the miniatures as a guide. So here's the werewolf, probably one of the most dynamic one. This is the same character as her, but as a werewolf. So her shirt is the same, her shorts, her jacket are all the same. Now obviously they're torn when she's in a werewolf form. And I used brown because that's the color of her hair. Now I used a burnt umber for her human hair, but for the werewolf hair, I went a shade lighter with a brown oxide, and I'm gonna use a burnt umber wash to add depth to the fur. And I even added her little purple, the purple part of her hair to match her human side, because they both have a little purple thing, because they're strong independent women that don't need no man. But anyway, just again, the purpose of this, and actually one more, the Christmas people. So Santa Claus and the elf, and these are weird characters. There was a Christmas expansion pack where you can play as Lovecraftian Santa and an evil elf for Betrayal of the House on the Hill. I don't know. Santa and the elf are really easy though, because one's green, one's red, and they have white trim. But again, I used a light gray rather than a white for the trim. That way I can dry brush on the white.
and then I can use a red or green wash to add depth to the non-white ends. And then I just used the light mocha for the skin because they're both Caucasian. Most of the characters are Caucasian or black. And even the Asian characters have Caucasian skin. There weren't really any Hispanics. You could argue that the werewolf girl is Hispanic, but she looks white to me. I mean, you tell me. You tell me. Look at the art. Does she look Hispanic? I mean, she could be. It's hard to tell. She could be Hispanic. She could be white. I'm not sure. But she has fair Caucasian skin. If you wanted to, like, the secret to different races and ethnicities is really just whether you do highlights or washes. If you want to have the character look more Caucasian, you could do a light mocha wash or a light mocha base coat with a territorial beige wash, just to, so it's a very light shade. Territorial beige is one shade lighter than brown oxide, which is one shade lighter than burnt umber. So depending on the wash you use, you can make the skin tone lighter or darker. Anyway, that's all I wanted to show you. This is the secret to getting projects done. The secret to getting a project done is to get a project started. And here's the thing. So when I'm painting, I'm going to put these cards away. I don't need them anymore. Let's say I'm doing red. So first I paint Santa Claus. I get Santa Claus all painted up, fill in all the gaps, make sure everything that's supposed to be red is completely painted red. And then I'm like, okay, while I'm doing this, what else can I be working on? And then I'll find a character that needs red, like the actual red character who has red sleeves. He has like a baseball shirt that has red sleeves. So I'll get his sleeves done while I'm here. And then I'm like, okay, who else needs red? Oh, this guy needs red. The priest, he needs a little red hat. The point is you go one color at a time, and when you finish one model, you look around at the rest of your project and ask yourself, what color do any other models need the same color? For example, the blue woman, she needs blue, obviously, but then the red character also has blue jeans, so he needs a blue tone for his pants. And even the yellow girl needs blue jeans for her pants. I'm going to paint the yellow girl like Coraline, because she looks like Coraline. Which is a good movie, by the way. Oh, see that? I mean, again, there's only a little bit of color on her, but I'm going to paint her up like Coraline. It's going to be fun times. Anyway, so that's the thing. You go one color at a time. Then when you finish one model, when you get all the color done on that model, just go through your other models, pick out any other models that need that same color, hit them up too. And by the time you finish this model, like after I get Santa Claus done, I'll have red, I'll have the light mocha skin, and I'll have the light gray all done. Those are basically the only colors and black. So once that's done, I'll also have the light mocha for all the other characters done, the red for all the other characters done, the light gray for all the other characters, and the black for all the other characters. So by the time I'm done with Santa Claus, the other characters will be like 20 to 50% done, depending on if they need those colors. So then I'll go maybe do the elf and I'll do the green. And then I'll finish, I'll move on to him and I'll do the green for this kid. So now that I'm doing the skin for the little African-American green kid, I will move on and I'll do the one for the purple character that also has black skin. And then, I'm doing the burnt umber hair for her. I might as well see, I'll do the burnt umber wash for the werewolf. And you just go through your models. And even though all these characters have distinct looks, these aren't part of an army where they're all going to have the same look. They're all distinct. You can still treat this like a single project by going one color at a time. And when you finish one color and you move on to the next color, you'll still get that sense. I don't know why my voice cracked just now. You'll still get that sense of accomplishment. You'll still be able to look at all your models and see the progress you've made. So you'll still feel good about it. And you won't feel discouraged or overwhelmed by what's ahead of you, because all you have to do is focus on the next color. And some of these colors are going to be really easy. Like this girl, she's the only one with yellow. No one else has yellow but her, so she's going to be real easy. Other characters have distinct colors like that. So anyway, that's the secret. That's how you conquer your pile of shame, is you just start a project and go one color at a time. And if you have art references, like the purpose of the dots is so I don't want to reference these cards anymore. I want to put these away and not have to look at them. So that's the purpose of adding just a little dot of color, just a little splash of color, just to establish what color everything should be. So then you can start working on it and you can put your art references away. And once you have your base coat done, you're going to do conditional washes. What I mean by conditional washes is, for example, I'll just use this character. So this character, she's going to have brown skin, darker brownish black hair. She's going to have a light gray to white coat, a purple shirt, and black pants. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to do a wash for her face, a different kind of a wash for her pants. I'm going to have to dry brush her coat and dry brush her hair. That's a lot. And so you're not dunking the whole model in a wash. Some models, like if you're doing like an armored, knight, and you want to hit the whole thing with a wash, that's fine. When you're doing a model like this, you want to wash some things and you're going to dry brush other things. So you want to be very careful. You're going to take a very small brush and you're just going to like dab the wash only where you need it. You're not going to coat the whole model in the wash, because each element of the model is going to need a different wash or a different highlight. So just go slow. Just go slow. Enjoy the process. That's what it's all about. Now, once the characters are all washed, base coated, highlighted, all that stuff, then we're going to go in with the details. So if we want to add details for like the lamps they're holding, their belt buckles, their shoelaces, anything really small that's going to be really hard to pick out, we're going to do those things last. And that's where we're going to break out like our metallic paints or our black paints or whatever, just to fill in those details. But with the washes settling into the recesses, most of the details are already going to be taken care of. We're just going to have to hit up some little things, like maybe the belt buckle. If they have like these lamps, we're going to probably want to hit these up with some kind of a fire effect or something in where the light's coming out of. It's going to be good. But anyway, here's the thing. All right, this is about all I have to share when it comes to tips and tricks and techniques. The only thing left is just to do it. If you guys want to watch me, paint these models one step at a time, if you find that interesting or entertaining, let me know and I'll do it. I'm going to do this anyway, so if I can videotape it and entertain you guys, that's fine. If that doesn't sound interesting to you, if you're just here for the tips and the tricks, I've kind of showed those to you. I've shown you how to make your own speed paints. I've shown you how to do the washes, and now I've shown you how to organize your projects so you can get things done and kind of chip away at them one color at a time. That's about it. Everything else is just application. So I did this as, again, like a palette cleanser, just to see if you guys would be interested in this and that sort of thing. So let me know if this interests you, if you want to see me continue to do this. Once I finish the Betrayal at House on the Hill, I'm going to do the models for Mansions of Madness. But again, if you guys don't find this entertaining, then I'll just do this off camera, just as my own hobby. If you guys want me to see me do it on camera, I'll go ahead and do it on camera. It's up to you guys. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Hope you guys found this useful. Again, let me know if you guys are enjoying this content or what you want to see in the future. I will go over some 3D printing stuff. There's like a filament that I use that I haven't heard anyone else talk about that I love. Also, just FDM printing is very different than resin printing. And I know a lot of miniature hobby channels focus on resin printing because resin printers give you the best detail. But resin miniatures are very fragile and expensive. If you get the good resin, you're going to be paying a lot of money. Whereas FDM is cheap and durable. You just don't get as much detail. But I'll show you like my models and how I get that level of detail. And they're pretty good. I mean, you'll be pretty impressed comparing my crappy FDM models with the, plastic injection molding models that you have to pay for. But anyway, that'll be another video. This might be the end of the painting tutorials. We'll move on to some 3D printing stuff, and that'll be about it, unless you guys are interested in this sort of thing. Let me know. This is TFM DFDMDM, and I'll see you next time.